In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we have come to our day of the victory of the Orthodoxy, Торжество православия. It's the first week or first Sunday in the Lent time. We have passed through the struggles of the first week. We had listened to the canon of St. Andrew of Crete. We have suffered through the cutting down or putting down our old man, and the old man has taken the upper hand over us. It was a big battle. It was not too pleasant. The old man just didn't want to give way. He wanted to control us. And when we forced him to keep the strict Lent, and it was all very difficult for him. And so, but my beloved, we, with God's help, we were able to go through it, and we have survived. We survived until the Lord has given us the chance to hear the beautiful holiday, or to see the beautiful holiday, rather, that we have today, and which is the victory of Orthodoxy. What is the victory over about? Well, there was a time when there was an iconoclast. There was the battle against the icons. There was not only the heresy came in about accusing the Orthodox people of having idols through the icons and bowing down to the idols instead of to God, and that it was forbidden in the Old Testament to create any images and so on. But the problem is that, well, the church had never bowed down to the icons, to the boards, or the painting, or the colors, or the decorations on it. They were always bowing down to the actual who is depicted. If the Lord is depicted on the icon, we are bowing down actually to the Lord Himself. If the Mother of God is depicted on the icon, we bow down to the Mother of God. We're not bowing down to the wood and then to the material thing. We're through the icon. We're looking actually at the Lord and looking actually at the Mother of God. And you know, the church tells us that we have the first icon that was made not by hands, it was made by the Lord Himself. When there was the prince, a guardian, that he was very sick, he had the, in English, he had the, a very terrible plague that the whole body goes into all kinds of wounds and so on, and it's very infectious, and anyway, he was very sick, but he heard that the Lord made so many miracles in Jerusalem, or around in Jerusalem, and he wanted so much to be able to at least see him, and he wanted to invite him to come and to heal him, because he couldn't travel and make it. And so he written to him a letter asking the Lord actually to come. But he sent an artist, a great artist, to come over, and he asked him to please at least draw a picture of the Lord. If he won't be able to come, at least I can see what he looks like. And so the artist was standing there and trying to depict the Lord to make a picture of him. And as he kept on trying and trying, but he was not able to catch the features of the Lord. And the Lord, at that time, and the tradition says that he was in the mountain. He was giving us the Beatitudes and the teachings in the mountain. And he knew that the artist is trying to make a picture of him, and he sent the disciple to go and fetch him. And when he came up to the Lord, the artist gave the Lord the letter from the prince, and the Lord read it, and then he answered the letter to him, gave him a written letter back to the artist, when he said to the disciples, "Give me a pail of water." And when they brought a pail of water and a towel, and he had washed his face, then placed the towel against his face as if to dry it, and all of a sudden there appeared a beautiful painting of the Lord, and that was the first icon, was the icon on the napkin that was not made by hands, and he gave that beautiful image of himself to the artist so that he can go back to the prince Agarin, and he took it with great gratitude. And of course when he went back to the prince, he showed him the icon, the first icon, and he looked at the icon and loved the Lord, and through him he asked for the healing, and he's got the healing, not totally. He had the healing, but he still had the marks from that sickness. Leprosy, that's the name of the sickness, leprosy. And the Lord had given him the letter and said that, I cannot come right now, I have to do my duty here, but when I resurrect, then I will send a disciple of mine, and he will come to you, and he will give you the complete cure. And this is what happened. And the disciple of the Lord came later on, and he baptized him, and when he baptized him, even all the signs of the sickness had all totally gone, and he was totally healed. And this was the first icon. Then, of course, you know that Saint Luke was a physician, but not only a physician, he was also a artist. And he had painted the first icon of the Mother of God. And when he painted the first icon of the Mother of God, he brought it to her and showed it to her, and she liked it. And she said, my grace is going to be coming with this icon. It was going to be coming through this icon to the people. And this is what happened. He actually made several icons, and these icons were given and were cherished, and there was many miracles were made by the Mother of God through that icon. And then, of course, this is why we in Orthodox Church we have icons. We don't bow down to the actual wood, and we know that the power comes through the image that's painted on it. If the Lord is painted on the icon, then it is the Lord that gives us the healing. If it is Mother of God that's painting on the icon, then the Mother of God is giving us the healing. If it is Saint Nicholas, when we look at Saint Nicholas, and if we look at the icon of Saint Nicholas with our heart, from heart to heart to Saint Nicholas, and cry out to him, help us and save us, help us and get, and please take us out of this terrible spot that we're in. He's going to willing, more than willing to do it. But we have to have the faith, and that's what we come into the reading of today of the Apostle. Of course, we had a reading in the Apostles where the reader had explained to us how necessary it is the faith, and what by faith what things have been done in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how everything is based on faith. It's so important for us to have the faith. Now you can sometimes maybe doubting whether do you have the faith. Well, do you have the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is actually the creator of the whole universe, and he is the Son of God, that he came on this earth to save us, to show us a way to make it to the kingdom of heaven? Do you believe in the creed that you read every morning? Do you really believe in everything that says it? Are you waiting for the coming of the Lord the second time and to be able to enter into the kingdom hereafter? Do you believe in all those things? Do you believe what the creed says? Well, you and I, we must believe if we are to be Orthodox. Now, if we are not, we don't believe, we shouldn't be calling even ourselves Orthodox. But do you believe when you come up to the chalice that you're actually receiving not the bread and wine that is in the chalice that looks like bread and wine, but you're actually receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it was transformed, and it was made from the wine and bread that the Lord had transformed it and made it into his own body and blood. Do you really believe that? Well, if you do believe that, and glory be to God, then you know that you are no longer alone, but you have the Lord Jesus Christ actually living in you. He is in you even physically. You have partaken his body and blood. At one time a great sinner came up to him and grasped him by his feet and shed tears of repentance for the sins that she had done, and he had forgiven her. But you were able to receive and consume the whole body and blood of our Lord, and he goes through all our system, through all our veins and through our body, and of course he goes through into our heart, and he is in our heart, and he's willing to stay in there to make our heart as his own temple. And that's what is most important thing, because he says so in the scripture. He says, "Son, give me your heart." And he would say the same thing to the daughter, "Give me your heart," because we're all, to him there is no gender. To him we're all his children. And he loves us so much. He wants to abide in us. He wants us to be able to live a life according to the gospel, as he had shown us that we should live. He wants us to live in the expectancy of his coming again, so that we will prepare and make sure that our heart is always cleaned up, and that there is nothing there that will be not worthy of his being in there. You know, the Lord will not abide in us if we have a passion taken over the heart or a passion of one kind or another. It doesn't matter what kind of passion. You know, the point is that we have to learn to get rid of the passions. How do you get rid of the passions? Well, this is one. Now, I will give you an experience that I had. I had a terrible time one time. This was way before I was a priest, but I was hooked on what they call the smoking. And I was smoking about 30 cigarettes a day I was smoking. And I just didn't feel nothing about it. It was a normal thing. Every time I have a little irritation or anything, I had a meal or a coffee or whatever, I would take a little cigarette and I would just smoke. And I would do that all the time. And yet, at that time, I was already an iconographer. I was painting icons. And one priest came up to me one time and he saw me smoking and he said, "What? Konstantin Aleksandrovich, you're smoking. You're an iconographer. How can you do that? It's a big sin." I said, "I never read it in the scripture that it's a big sin." He said, "Well, look at St. John of Kronstadt. He writes about it." And of course I love St. John of Kronstadt, I always did, and I was reading, but I never seemed to have found that passage. And I searched, and I found it, and I found that St. John of Kronstadt says that smoking is a terrible sin, because what it is, and what you're doing is you're sacrificing the smoke to the demons. You're defiling yourself. You're actually, what you're doing is, you're committing adultery to the Lord. Instead of looking for help from God, you're looking to calm down your nerves and everything through your smoking, through that nicotine. And then when I realized that, I started to fight. And boy, oh boy, did I fight. And I fought for 3 years. And I was at the time of the battles. I would stop for a few days, and then I would be so hungry for that smoke that I just couldn't find any peace any place. And then at times I would throw the thing out, and then I would get up in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go and look for those stupid cigarettes, and into the forest where I threw them out. And I couldn't find it. I would go miles and miles to try to find a bus terminal where the Americans would throw butts. And I would pick that up just to satisfy that craving. This is what passion does to us. I don't care whether it's smoking. It could be anything. You get tied your heart to any kind of a passion. It could be sex. It could be drinking. It could be any kind of other narcotics, and you name it. It could be just the passion of wanting to have the power and to be something, to do something in the world, and so on, to become some big shot, and so on. All those things that are passions, and they are very, very difficult to get rid of. And you know, I'm going to have to confess to you, as I could not conquer it myself. I have fought it for 3 years. I prayed and asked my children to pray, and my future Matushka, and so on, and nothing would help. I just couldn't get rid of it. Until one day, I came in with a cigarette in my mouth, and I come in into my house, and as usual, I look at the icon corner, where there's usually the lampada lit, and I look, I take the cigarette out of my mouth, I look at the icon, and it came out from the depths of my heart, which I cried out to the Lord, you see how I'm struggling. I'm struggling for 3 years, and I can't conquer this passion. Take it away from you. You can do it. You can do everything. Please take it away from me. And I put that cigarette into the ash tray, and that was it. And I, after that, it as if I have never smoked in my life. I had absolutely no craving for it. I was totally free from it. And that's what the Lord did. Just by looking through the icon, I looked at the Lord, actually, through the icon, and I believed in my heart, I believed that. And then, of course, I'm going to tell you another little story about the time when I had to confront the filthy scum, the demon, at what time he came as a vision to me, and he caused me such fears, and I didn't want to come back. I went at him, according to the Holy Fathers, and then on the way back, I had to go, I was a priest already, and I had to go and give communion to my nanny. And I had given her communion, and I traveled back, and I wasn't going to go that same road. But then a voice, probably my guardian angel, said, no, you can't back out. You have to go on that same road where you met the filthy scum. You have to go there. You cannot chase, go away, run away from the enemy, because he will never stop chasing you. And I went the same direction. And as I went through hell. It seemed to be every place, as my car was coming and I was driving, and everything, it was dark, it was nighttime, and I could see just like the demons, the figures, it's fighting behind every bush, behind every house, everything, all kinds of monsters. And I was filled with such a fear, my little ones, cried out with my heart. I tried to cry it out, but it was empty. I was in some kind of a cave or something, that the Lord didn't hear me. Yet I recognize that He hears me, but He's allowing me to go through this. And finally, it seemed to have been hours. Actually, it was only 20 minutes by the time I got to home. When I got to home, I came out of the car, and my knees were shaking as the leaves in the tree. And I was totally drenched with cold sweat. But when I came into the house, and all I did is walked in through my room, the guest room, and then I went right into the kitchen. And on the kitchen, on the left side of the kitchen, I had an icon of the Kazanska Bozhaya Matery, of the Mother of God of Kazan. And I looked at the icon, and everything just totally vanished, went away. I couldn't, before that, couldn't conquer nothing. And I knew how the Mother of God, what kind of power she had, that she can push away these enemies so they will not put fears into us and make all kinds of troubles for us. My beloved, that's when I knew the value of the Mother of God much more, and the angel, the guardian angel, how he protects us from the evil ones. And of course, I couldn't understand, why is it happening? Why did I go through these things? And of course, 2 weeks later, I had had the answer of that. And my beloved, 2 weeks later, I knew the answer, why it was allowed for me to go through. So I know the power of the Mother of God. And I was a priest, and I was brought in somebody that was possessed, and was in a terrible trouble, and it wasn't even an Orthodox person. And the Lord wanted that person to be freed from the filthy scums. And I have asked my bishop whether I have the right or whether I could have the special canon of the exorcism, and I was given the right to do it, and I have done it, and through the Mother of God's power, the filthy scums left the poor suffering soul. My beloved, you have to believe, though. You have to believe. One of the biggest problems today is that most people don't want to take out the time to build up their faith. You know, without faith we can do nothing. Without faith we're only in the name Orthodox. Without faith we cannot keep the fasting. We cannot do anything. We can never say a prayer without real faith. And that's what you have to develop. That's the beginning for us, is the faith. We have to start to believe. How do you develop the faith? Well, one of the reasons, of course, is what you heard in the Gospel. Well, in the Gospel it was said that, you know, that one man came up and said, please heal my son. And the Lord said, you believe that I can do that, and something like that. And the Lord said, and the man said, yes, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And that's what you and me have to start to say. We don't have enough faith. We have to ask the Lord, you know, to give us more faith. But the Lord says, if you have a faith of a little grain of seed, you can move mountains. Well, you don't have to really move the actual mountains. Even if you lived in a place where there's a mountainous area, you don't need to move those mountains, but you got some mountains that you absolutely have to move, and these are mountains in your heart that are closing up so that you will not be able to see the Lord, and see the hereafter, that you're only looking at the temporary things, you're looking at the mountain, at the things that are right before you. You can't see beyond that. You can't see beyond this life, and you cannot see the same thing. Like you, even when you look at the icon and so on, the enemy makes sure that you have the mountain inside in your heart before your eyes, that you cannot see beyond that icon, beyond to see the Lord by faith. And that's what you have to learn, to have to move those mountains away so that you can approach the Lord. So you can actually start, as St. John of Croatia says, start to speak to the Lord from heart to heart, to the Mother of God, to the St. Nicholas and all the saints, and every saint that you love, that you can really be able to really conserve, and to be able to talk to them through faith. But it takes the faith. Without faith you can't do it. So how do you develop the faith? Reading the scriptures. That's one way. Reading the lives of saints, which is imperative. Then you see how the faith was put into practice, how people had done all kinds of miracles. But of course you start with the Lord, how what he had done. But in most of the cases he would ask the person, he would, do you believe that it could be done, or do you believe it? I can do it. And when they would say that, he would do the miracle. But when they came to his own place where he was growing up, because he didn't go out to preach until when he was 30 years old, and there he did very little miracles because of the lack of faith of people. And that's lack of faith is what keeps us from being true Orthodox. Lack of faith is what keeps us from becoming sincere workers for the Lord, for the kingdom of heaven. It's because we don't have that enough faith. So let's work on it. We have this great Lent. Right now, let's develop that faith. Let's work on it more and more. Let's read all the things in the Lenten Triodion and all the things that are there. Let's first of all humble ourselves. You know, God resists the proud, so he is not going to listen to us if we continue to be proud. Recognize your sinfulness. Recognize. Now, okay, you say, I've confessed those things. I don't have those things anymore. No, but you be like St. Peter. St. Peter never forgot. St. Peter had never forgotten that he had denied Christ thrice. And he cried out for all his life. He cried out of that sin. He knew that the Lord forgave him. But it made him feel so sorry that what he did. And he had never judged anybody. And he had become a great miracle maker. Even the shadow, as you know, had resurrected a person and committed, that the Lord committed miracles through St. Peter's shadow. My beloved, faith is what we have to develop. But we can do it if we don't struggle, if we don't look for it and fight for it. Anything in this world that you have to fight for. You have to get. I don't care what you want in this world, and if you want in this world, it doesn't come to you without fighting for it. You have to struggle. You have to fight. Well, you've got to fight to acquire the faith and the love for the Lord, especially the love. You know, once you have the faith, the love is going to come in more and more, because the grace of God is going to be coming to you all the time. The Lord is going to give you the strength so that you'll be able to grow spiritually, so that you'll be able to truly, every time you remember the Lord, every time, especially for us Orthodox, so easy when you look at the icons, the true icons, we see actually the Lord, and again the saints and the angels and so on. They're so real for us. They become so real to us. And all it's done is through faith. And it was a terrible situation that, you know, there are millions and millions of people that call themselves Christians, but they deny themselves that a wonderful way of being able to get a little door into the heavenly, into heaven, into a little doorway into our Lord, into the Mother of God, into the saints, into the angels, through the icons. They deny themselves. They have no contact. They say they were fooled to say that they don't need anything. They just need to approach the Lord. They don't need the Mother of God. They don't need and the holy saints, but at the same time they made themselves very foolish, because the problem is, I've heard them even saying, Pastor, pray for me. Well, if they can ask a pastor to pray for them, why can't they ask St. Nicholas or St. John the Apostle or St. Peter and St. Paul to pray for them, or the angels? But they're not doing it. They're asking their brothers to pray for them, those whom they see on this earth, because they don't have their faith. They don't have enough faith. And they talk about, all the time, about faith. And you know now, they're trying to all gather together, all the Christians. First it was the Christians. Now it's every believers of all kinds. It doesn't matter whether you're Christians or not. They put them all together under one roof of the ecumenical movement, which is the World Council of Churches. And they want everybody to be in there. And these, all those people, the iconoclast people, those who had fought the icons, those who had thrown out the icons and trampled them down and desecrated them and then took out the relics and did all kinds of terrible things. And they were finally anathematized by the 7th Ecumenical Council. That's where we have the our day today of the victory of the Orthodoxy. But they're all gathered together in that baby union of all the religions. And the terrible thing, my beloved, is that most of the people already have links to it, because many of the major Orthodox even churches, they have joined that World Council of Churches. And I hope that if you're in one of those churches that belong to the World Council of Churches, that you would fight inside and beg your administration to leave that organization, because it's actually an organization that engulfed or that welcomed all those people that were condemned as heretics by the 7 Ecumenical Councils. And of course, we have a Council of 18 I mean, of 1983, that had condemned the ecumenism as a heresy. My beloved, let's make sure that we will not be engulfed in that terrible organization. And if you are in the little churches that are left over as we are in, or if you are not, fight to make sure that if you are in that church that is involved in ecumenical movement, to tell your pastors and your bishops and so on to get out of there as soon as they can, because otherwise there will be very little chance for you to be able to really be able to see the Lord, because He is going to say, I never knew you, I don't know you, even though you say, well, I served you in the churches, I had the same traditions that we had from the beginning, but the Lord said, I never knew you. And you don't want to be in that position. So, my beloved, try to get straighten those things out. And know one thing, the Lord is merciful. He wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to be perished. He wants everybody to be saved, but He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. When He stood before the Pilate wasn't interested in the truth. But the Lord says, all those who love the truth will follow me, and they will follow the Lord. And this is what it is now today. So go out after that truth. But the truth has to be together. It cannot be divided from love of the Lord. Because our Lord is God of love. And He wants us to have the love, first of all, of course, for Him, with all the heart and mind and might and the soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But of course we have to know to love ourselves, not as the psychiatrist of the world tell you love your body, but to love your soul. And that's to protect each other from the sins. And this is what has to be the biggest fight that we have. Because the Lord says, do not be afraid of somebody that kills your body, but be afraid of somebody that kills your body and can take your soul into hell. And what is that? And who is that? It's not the devil. The devil only entices us, but the sins is that what keeps us, what can get us into hell. It's the sin that the devil leads us onto, to break God's laws, and that's what can kill us and bring us into hell. And my beloved, let's fight. Let's be true soldiers of Christ. Let's fight the evil one and know that the evil one can be conquered only when we stop, when we fight off all our passions, when we fight off all our sins that we have, all the things that we know that is against God, against our Lord. All the things that hurt the Lord on the cross when He took up all our sins on there. And if we have the love for Him, we'll start to clean up our act. And we will start to go after to make sure that our heart is going to be the place that the Lord can make a temple in it. Because that's what He wants. He cries out to you, my son, give me your heart. And He says the same thing to my daughter, give me my heart, because to Him there's no gender. To Him, my son, it means the same thing as daughter. And He wants our heart. He wants our heart so that we can be able to feel that beginning of the kingdom of heaven. For the Lord says, so the kingdom of heaven is in your heart. So let's go for that. Amen.